And verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. We've got a problem where there's a storm, and the disciples see Jesus walking on the water. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, if it's really you, how many times have we said, is this really you, God? Bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Lord, we ask your blessing on the word. We ask your blessing on Rob tonight. And God, we ask, Lord, that you'd have your holy way in this service and touch individuals. God, we're not begging for miracles. God, we know you're capable. And we're asking you, God, to do those things that you've already said would happen. We're asking in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me ask you tonight, how many have walked on water? How many have tried to walk on water? See, I have discovered the problem. The reason you haven't walked on water is because you've never tried to walk on water. Now, all during Peter's ministry, I believe there were people who were saying, he's the guy that was walking on the water. He had a testimony like no one else had a testimony, because he was willing to step out of the boat and put his foot on the water by faith, believing. Jesus said, I can do it. Right. Now, I don't believe that it was just Peter, he said, come. But there were other disciples in the boat, and they did not have the faith to step out and receive the miracle that Peter received. Now, I know that Peter had second thoughts, and he started to sink, and Jesus reached for them. But how many have felt the power in the presence of God, felt like, God, you healed me tonight, and then you went home? Yes. And Jesus reached and said, oh, okay, I'm still with you. Amen. See, you got to believe beyond church. Amen. You got to believe that God does more than just miracles and great things in church. He's the same God outside these walls. He's the same God at home. He's the same God at the office. Now, how many times has God prompted us to do something and then we just didn't do it because, well, we just didn't want to step out? I'll be embarrassed. What if I sink? Then everybody's going to say, hey, he didn't have any faith. Pray for that lady at the office. Well, you know, then it's going to get around. The whole office is going to know I'm one of those holy rollers. And then what happens if nothing happens? Are we worried about our reputation, or are we worried about God's reputation and what he can do? And I believe that God's looking for somebody to step out in faith and see the miracles happen, but somebody has got to step out of the boat. Somebody's got to get to the place where you say, all right, if it's you, God, let me do it. Amen. Would you turn to Psalm 63? Starting in verse number 1. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. It says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. See, I want to see the same thing that I see in the sanctuary outside of the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Amen. I'm going after you, God. Amen. I said it Wednesday. You know, Jacob would not let go of God until he blessed him. Amen. And when we come and are that tenacious and saying, God, I'm not letting go. I'm not giving up until you bless me. Amen. I think God wants to see how determined we are, how desperate we really are. Amen. Here David declares he will seek after God relentlessly to see a demonstration of God's power and glory like he has seen in the sanctuary. Our experience with God must be beyond our church services. We cannot limit God to the time that we spend in the sanctuary and then we're done for another week or another 3 days. God is able to meet all of our expectations based on what we are doing for God. Amen. Now, if you have studied, you don't mind a test. If you're living for God, you can't wait to get to the sanctuary. Amen. Ephesians, I read it this morning, 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. The provisions of God are always conditional based on how we respond to his requests. See, God's talking to all of us. You know, I don't know how your hearing is, and so many times Jesus said, let them that have ears hear what the Spirit says. And when God prompts us, we need to respond to the prompting of God. Amen. You know, not have selective hearing when it comes to God. I don't think that was God, you know, because I don't want to do it. Most things that we receive in this life, we get as a result of giving up something. Now, if I want to go to Pick and Save, and I probably do that tomorrow sometime because the refrigerator is empty, they insist on me giving them money before I can take the groceries. How rude. You know, they have all of this food, and yet I have to pay in order to take it out of the store. Now, if I want money from an employer, they seem to think that I have to give them my time and my effort. Most of us have figured out the process. First we give and then we get. The same is true with God. Maybe the reason we're not getting is because we haven't been giving. I'm not just talking about finances, but I am also talking about finances. Sometimes we're just not getting what we really want from God because we're really not giving God what he wants. I read where God has this huge storehouse with stuff that is impossible to get here on earth. Amen. Just amazing what he has. And all we have access to that storage, and God lets us fill out the order form all by ourselves. You can't buy a healing here. Amen. You can't buy protection here. You can't buy a whole lot of things that are available through an order form that you send to heaven. Right. Here's the order form. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So what God is saying, listen, I want to give you and I want to give you, and but you have to decide. My wife will tell you that it's not much fun trying clothes on in a store if you can't take them home. People try on the garments of power and praise in our worship service, but we must pay the price to take the garments home.
Amen.
David said, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. I just don't want to get tickled by God on Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday and not feel the same presence when I'm standing in my kitchen or standing in my bedroom, because he's the same God.
Amen.
And he still delights in me wherever I am.
Amen.
How much are you willing to give of yourself to see the miracle that you need? How much? What is it going to take? Have you ever asked God? Now, just because you're in truth, just because you're faithful, doesn't mean you get everything you want.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Sometimes you don't get what you deserve. You get what you negotiate. And sometimes you have to negotiate with God. I mean, did Abraham negotiate with God?
Yes.
Amen. Now, years ago, I read about Tess, a precocious 8-year-old who heard her parents talking about her little brother, Andrew. All she knew was that he was very, very sick, and they had no money for doctors, and only a very costly surgery could save him, and there was no insurance. She heard her daddy say to her mother, only a miracle can save him now. She loved her little brother. Tess went to her bedroom and pulled out a glass jar from under her bed, and she poured out all of the money that she had in it on the floor, and she carefully counted it 3 times. She carefully put the money back into the jar and slipped out of the back door and walked 6 blocks to the local pharmacy, and there she waited patiently for the pharmacist to give her some attention. But he was very busy, so she cleared her throat with a very disgusting sound. But it didn't work. So finally, she took a quarter out of the jar that she had and she started pounding it on the glass counter, and that did it. The pharmacist asked, what do you want? In a very annoying voice. I'm talking to my brother from Chicago, who I haven't seen for a long time, and we are catching up. Well, I want to talk to you about my brother. He really, really needs a miracle. His name is Andrew, and he has something bad growing in his head, and my daddy says, only a miracle can save him now. Sir, how much does it cost for a miracle? Listen, I have money, and if it isn't enough, I can get more. And the pharmacist answered, hey, we don't sell miracles here. I can't help you. Well, the well-dressed man that was talking to the pharmacist stooped down and asked the girl, what kind of miracle does your brother need? I don't know. I just know he is really sick and he needs an operation. Well, how much do you have? $1.11, and I can get more. I can get more if you need more. Well, what a coincidence. That is exactly the price of a miracle for your little brother. Dr. Carlton Armstrong was a surgeon specializing in neurosurgery, and he did the operation. This is a true story. And he did the operation on the little brother, and it was a complete success. Later, the mom asked, I wonder how much it would have cost for that surgery. And Tess said, I know. $1.11. There are people here tonight that I know need miracles. Amen. You've been faithful. You're in truth. You have the Holy Ghost. How much do you have in a hidden place to see the miracle happen? Well, I'm aware that Jesus paid a price for the miracle already, but how desperate are we in order to see the miracle happen? Not next week, not next month, not next year, but tonight. You see, God does require that we give something of ourselves to see the miracle of God. Amen. Like David, we must first demonstrate a longing and a thirst for God. He said, my soul followeth hard after thee. God, I have to see the miracle, no matter what it takes, in order to see the miracle. When we become so tenacious, when we become so desperate, like the woman with the issue of blood, God always, always responds. When we get to that place where we're like blind Bartimaeus that keeps screaming out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It's at that time, God says, you don't have enough, but I'll take care of the bill. Turn to Mark, the second chapter, please. This is a very familiar scripture to most of us. Amen. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? They weren't too smart, were they? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. Glory to God. Sometimes if we want to see the miracle, we might have to tear off a roof. We have to get to the place where we really demonstrate to God, I believe you're going to do it. Amen. You know, if you're praying for rain, you ought to take an umbrella. When you're really looking for a miracle, believe God. So what do you do when we come to church hoping to receive a miracle? And how many times have we come to church expecting God to do something and then perhaps nothing happens, and then we run into some kind of obstacles? You think it's going to be a service just tailored for you, and then somebody is rude to you. The pastor doesn't shake your hand. You're late and somebody else takes your seat. The preacher preaches on something that is totally unrelated to what your need is. Do you know that it doesn't matter what I preach on or how badly I preach to you? God can still heal you at the end of the service. He doesn't need me to smear oil on your head. He doesn't need me to do anything. All he needs is a little bit of faith and a little bit of determination that I believe you, God. You stand out like a sore thumb in a congregation when your belief rises up to God. It's like flashing lights, if you will. Hallelujah. When you're determined to get the healing, nothing will stop you. Amen. You might have to drag your body to where Jesus is. If that means making a spectacle of yourself, so be it. Amen. Or even when your faith rises to a certain level in the middle of the preaching and you say, hey, I've got to have it now, so be it. Let God do it. I think it was the second Pentecostal service I was ever in. I was in the middle of the church and in the middle of the row, and God was dealing with me, and I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized in Jesus' name, but I knew one thing. I needed to get to that altar. Amen. Hey, listen, I'll fix your roof later. I got a need right now. I'm sorry if I'm too radical for you. I'm sorry if I'm a little bit boisterous. It doesn't matter. Amen. I'll apologize later. I need something right now. Amen. I've got to get to Jesus. Amen. And God forbid if the church stops us from getting to Jesus. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that Peter didn't turn around and say, hey, guys, what do you think? Should I walk out? If we're asking somebody in the church whether or not we may never got out of the pew. Amen. Blind Bartimaeus, he got it. He started yelling, and he wouldn't stop. All of those people who were there for a regular service, they tried to stop him, but even the congregation couldn't stop the healing that was going to be for blind Bartimaeus. Hallelujah. He was desperate. In Mark 2 and 6, it said, when Jesus saw their faith, Amen. He said unto the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven. There's that scripture that has stood out in my life for years and years. When God saw their faith. Amen. How do you see faith? Could I see your faith? You only see faith by the actions that you have. Unless you do something, you don't demonstrate your faith to God at all. Amen. Oh, God, I'm here. You can do whatever you want. No, no. It's by our actions. It's by $1.11. It's by 2 widows' mites. Hallelujah. It doesn't have to be great feats. It doesn't have to be great oratory. It doesn't have to be great things that we do. It just has to be faith. A time when we're worshiping, when we're sorrowful, touching the hem of his garment, when we're just too sick to walk. Abraham willing to sacrifice his son to demonstrate to God, I believe you're going to raise him up again. Listen, miracles can't determine a full house or the best music or the best preaching. It's not determined by how many people are here or who is ministering, but by people who will demonstrate their faith and tear off a roof and do whatever they have to do. Oh, hell, are we a family? Does it matter? I mean, could we ever be embarrassed by somebody demonstrating their faith in God? We need to open the door to God's warehouse by giving and worshiping, especially in difficult circumstances. An angel told Cornelius in Acts 10 that thy prayers or worship and thy alms have come up for a memorial before God. Oh, could we send up some memorials to God by what we are doing? and his whole family got saved because of his worship and because of his giving. He recognized, God, I can't get anything unless I give something. David said, I will never offer God anything that didn't cost me something first. And if you're wondering sometimes, why isn't it happening? Maybe you just need to give him something. Now I want you to see something. God knows our needs, and they are more important than our wants. And many times we're asking for wants instead of needs. The man with the palsy wanted to be healed, but Jesus addressed his more important need, and that is to have his sins forgiven. And then he healed him. The man at the gate, beautiful, wanted money, but God knew he needed a healing. Sometimes we just ask for the wrong things. Several years ago, we had a building fund going. I think we've had 3 building funds, but this was a lot of years ago. My wife was still working as a commercial insurance agent, and we just wanted to see this building go up, and we determined that we were going to give all of her salary that year to the building fund. And I saw how God blessed people financially. I mean, there were people who got jobs and raises and cars, and even one man who was given a home because of giving to the building fund. But God didn't increase our finances at all. But that year, I baptized both my mother and father in Jesus' name. What kind of miracle do you need? Listen, there must be an exchange between you and God. It doesn't just happen because we're in truth. Employers don't give people money because they're just honest, but because they do a good job. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Church, I want God to see my faith, but it has to be in some kind of action. Turn to James, the 2nd chapter. James 2 and 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say, he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. If we really believe something is going to happen, we have to take steps. When you got the Holy Ghost, you took some steps to the altar. You took some steps. You raised your hands. You lifted your voice. Hallelujah. So how much does a miracle cost these days? I don't know. Have we been holding back from God? Could we be generous with our giving and hold back our time? Have we been reading the love letters that God has been sending us? What will your miracle cost? Because there is a cost. I know God took a beating that we could be healed by his stripes, but there has to be a release from heaven of the miraculous. Are you able to teach Bible studies, but you're just too busy? Is that the cost of a miracle in your life? Do you have some talents and yet you haven't used them for God? God knows what I have to offer and the abilities that each and every one of us have, but are we more involved in our own life than doing something for God? And when we give him the things that he really wants from us, not just faithfulness, not just coming, not just sitting on a pew, but God, this week I'm going to do something for you. Yesterday, I got a quote in the mail for repaving our parking lot, the back half of the parking lot, and it was $75,000. And God is not worried about that. He's still working on me, you know. Years ago, God told me that our church needed to give $10,000 to the district to support Brother Putnam for a full-time superintendency. That following Sunday, I baptized 15 people in Jesus' name. That year, our giving increased $100,000. I'm just telling you. It could be $1.11, or it could be something you're just holding back, and God's saying, I'm just waiting for you to give me those things, and then I'm going to release my faith, my miracles for you. The question is never, what can God do? It's always, what can we do for God? And over the last few years, we've seen many miracles, people healed of cancer and heart disease, and I wonder how much those miracles cost. Sometimes maybe $1.11. And faith. But what about yours? What are you willing to give? What have you got that you won't let go? Oh, hallelujah. What's God's desire? Oh, he wants to heal people, but he wants to see this building filled. And each and every one of us have the capabilities of talking to somebody about the goodness of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Who will release that? Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, come on. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.